Welcome to Indie Foundation Connecting Through Cancer podcast. I'm your host, Kayla Keenan, founder of Indie Foundation, a nonprofit located in central Minnesota. Here at Indie, we believe in supporting and connecting cancer warriors throughout their cancer journey. Our mission is to provide financial and community support to cancer warriors across Minnesota. Join us as we share inspiring stories, valuable resources, and important updates to help you and your loved ones navigate the challenges of cancer with strength and hope. Thank you for tuning in and being part of our Indie tribe. So today, I am so excited to have all of you joining in for our first ever Indie Foundation Connecting Through Cancer podcast. This has been a longtime dream of mine and the foundation's to be able to connect cancer warriors throughout the state of Minnesota. Our mission here at Indie Foundation is to provide love, faith, and financial support to cancer warriors across the state. But a huge piece of cancer in people's cancer journeys is the emotional side of it. We've always wondered what direction we should go with it. Do support groups? Should we do something online? And reality is we've really never done it well. But I've always struggled with, I don't want to be a support group. I don't want to sit in a support group, not bashing support groups. It's just not something that I really was passionate about. Podcast is where it's at. This is how we are going to connect cancer warriors, family members. We're going to provide support. We are going to have inspiring stories on here. We're going to have resources, all those things that you need while you're going through cancer. And it's not just for the cancer patient. While I hope that we can have and provide inspiring stories on here, when you're sitting in that chair receiving chemotherapy, or maybe you're just having a down day, or maybe you're a spouse that's like, oh my gosh, how do I help the warrior? My hope is that we can provide some hope and some inspiration on this podcast. So here we are. What I kind of want to review or go over today is, how did we get here? What is Indie Foundation? Maybe some of you are just hearing about this for the first time, which is awesome. Welcome. But I'll kind of just go through the history of Indie Foundation. So in September of 2013, my late husband, Kyle, was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer at the age of 30. While that wasn't enough shock, not something you expect at the age of 30, we also were due to get married in 6 months. So while it was a time we should be excited to plan and prepare for our future, God had other plans and roadblocks in front of us. From the minute that Kyle was diagnosed, 2 weeks later, he was in surgery. What we thought was going to be a simple surgery to remove a portion of his colon turned into a 12 plus hour surgery of not only removing 30 plus inches of his colon, they had to remove some of his ureter, some lymph nodes, and it got way more intense and invasive than we ever had thought. His surgery was so long that when the surgeon came out, he's like, look, it was really intense. We got as much as we could. Just let Kyle rest tonight and don't let him know. Try not to tell him what happened today. And I still remember that moment thinking, how am I going to lie to him? How am I, you know, he's going to figure it out. Because when he went into surgery, he was under the assumption, we were under the assumption that everything was going to be laparoscopically. He ended up getting cut from basically just under his rib cage all the way through his abdomen. And so you can imagine when he woke up, he was in a ton of pain. He figured it out shortly. And after a few tears and moments of, okay, this is a big deal, his attitude changed so quickly. And he's like, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to get through this. And so fast forward, after surgery, obviously was recovery. And then it was the recommendation to do chemotherapy. So he received chemotherapy at a local cancer center here in central Minnesota. He did basically 4 rounds of chemotherapy and it was awful. I'm sure some of you listening can relate. As a caretaker who had to watch it, it was tough at times. He was really sick. He couldn't stand smells. He couldn't eat. His type of chemotherapy that he received was an infusion at the center, and then he would come home with a pump that pumped through him for 24 hours straight. Once he got off that pump is when he just went downhill. He lost a lot of weight, really just, you know, changed our whole life and trajectory. However, we had a wedding to look forward to, and I do feel that was some of Kyle's motivation was, I will stand up at that altar, I'm going to feel and look good, and I can say he did all of that. He looked amazing. It was the most beautiful, coldest freaking day in Minnesota possible. We got married February 22nd in 2014. Winter wedding here in Minnesota. I just wanted nothing more than there to be snow. And we got like 2 feet of snow the Thursday before. So not only were people shoveling out of it to get to our wedding, they also froze their butts off as we took pictures down by Lake George in literally sub-zero temperatures. But the photos are beautiful, I promise. So after our wedding, Kyle felt really great for a couple years. Of course, you know, you still have your ebbs and flow with cancer. I could always tell when his scans were coming up because he just acted differently. And as you can imagine, and as people are listening, you know, there's anxiety behind that, right? Am I going to go in and they're going to tell me it's back? And I think that's always in the back of your mind, even with being told you're cancer free. It's like, is this forever or how long is this going to be for? So he had several scans over the years. He also did a lot of different holistic treatments to rid his body of a lot of those icky things, including some of the chemotherapy that he received. Fast forward, next couple of years were awesome, and then the cancer came back with a vengeance. And it turned into more surgeries, more complications, and eventually the cancer spread where there was nothing more that they could do. I knew towards the end that that was going to be our reality, but it wasn't something you talked about on a daily basis. Kyle, I would say towards the end, was in more of a state of depression. I think about it now, 7 years later, what if this happened to me? What would I be like? I mean, you're given news that you don't know how long you have left to live. But on top of it, it's not like he felt great. I mean, he was in pain every day. He could barely get off the couch. It was a lot of work to take a shower and do the normal things. And I think mentally that drained him because, I mean, he would tell me, I just want nothing more than to get up and go to work and feel normal. And I think those are some of the behind the scenes things that if you've never been through cancer or you've never physically seen someone go through it, that's the reality, is it takes a lot from you emotionally. But as Kyle went through this journey, even through some of his darkest days, his motto was, I'm not done yet. God doesn't want me yet. I will get through this. And that's really where the motto of INDY, or the acronym of INDY, was born, was from him saying that consistently throughout his cancer journey. So INDY became our motto. When he would get crabby at me, I would say, INDY, I'm not done yet, with a smile on my face. And I think sometimes that pissed him off even more. But hey, it changed his mood for a little bit anyways. So cancer, even though I have not endured it, and I hope I never have to in my lifetime, I did live it. I lived through it, watching my husband no longer be able to do a lot of the things he wanted to do. So towards the end of his cancer journey, we transitioned him to Quiet Oaks Hospice House, which is an amazing hospice house in central Minnesota. He spent his last 7 days here on earth in Quiet Oaks. His doctor was actually, the doctor on staff at Quiet Oaks was his primary doctor. So it was very fitting that the guy who first told him, hey, I think you need to go in for a colonoscopy, there may be more issues here, was the guy who ended up taking care of him in the end. It was just a full circle moment, and it makes me emotional when I think about it because he was instrumental, and Kyle will tell you today that Dr. Lally was the only doctor that ever listened to me and what I wanted. So, perfect person to take care of him in his final days on earth. But also, if anyone knows Kyle, he's extremely stubborn, and his will to live was unlike anyone. The nurses were like, wow, he's determined, because he wanted to change his dressings. He didn't want people to do it for him. And Dr. Lally, you know, his body was starting to give up, but his mind was still so with it. And I remember Dr. Lally telling me, he's like, if anyone is going to make my job hard, it's going to be Kyle, with a smile on his face. So Kyle lost his battle with cancer on July 31st of 2017. I tell everyone now, having birthed two babies, it's so amazing seeing someone take their first breath in this world, but it's also amazing seeing someone take their last breath in this world. And if you've ever got to experience that, it's just, it's indescribable. It's amazing. And it makes you realize how cool birth and death and our time on this earth actually is. And while I don't want this to be a Debbie Downer podcast, it's just, it's reality of the journey of what we faced. I feel fortunate that Kyle and I got to have last conversations. Life after Kyle, what do you want at your funeral? What do you want that to look like? And if you knew Kyle, he's a jokester. His personality was big. And I'll never forget, I was like, is there anything specific that you want? Food? Do you care? And he looks at me and he's like, you're good at planning parties. You'll make it, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, this is just, you know, a great party that I didn't think I'd ever have to plan. But I can laugh about it now. At the time, I was like, come on, dude, give me some guidance. But I think that also made me realize that funerals are not for the dying person. Funerals are for everyone else, right? So really, his wish was, I want everyone to celebrate. I want everyone to have a Limon Coke. That was his favorite drink. And I want everyone to play pull taps. And we did that. It was the most beautiful day. And we had the funeral. Then we drove to Foley, where he was buried. We let off hundreds of balloons. And then we had a reception at Jack and Jim's in Duelm. In true Kyle fashion, in August, the weather was literally like 45 degrees. And in his honor, we decided we're going to shoot off guns because he's a big hunter. It was kind of like the last hurrah. And I kid you not, we go outside in the back parking lot to shoot guns and it starts freaking downpouring. And I was like, really? This is what you send me? Like, why can't it be a rainbow? Rain? But we all kind of just chuckled and laughed and were like, all right, Kyle, we got it. So after that, Kyle's other wish was, he had two dying wishes, really. One, to get working on Indie. So Indie is something we talked about. What does it look like? How could we help other people? And one of the things he really wanted to do is, there's a lot of organizations out there that support cancer research, which we need, because I hope someday there is a cure. But in the meantime, there are so many people affected by it. And sometimes it takes their jobs away. Sometimes, you know, they just have to take extra time off work. And reality is, bills still come in. You still have to take your kids to daycare. Like, life still goes on, even though you are battling for your life, essentially. So he's like, we need to start something where we can directly impact cancer warriors. That was dying wish one. And then dying wish two was to live every day to its fullest and find someone that would make me happy again, just like he did. So I am super grateful we got to have those conversations. I have a friend who, her husband actually died the exact same day, 1 year prior, in a car accident, and she never got to have those conversations. And so it's just perspective on, yes, for 4 years, it was a lot of struggle, a lot of hard days, but the silver lining in all of that is I got to have some of those final questions and peace within me to know that I can continue to live even after Kyle is no longer here. A few weeks after Kyle had passed, I was like, okay, I have to get working on Indie. What does that mean? How do I start a nonprofit? Google, how to start a nonprofit. So literally have no experience in the nonprofit world, but I had the passion and determination to make a difference. I also, my ask from Kyle was to send me signs. Please send me signs to know I'm doing the right things, to know, you know, you're happy, you're pain-free, all the things. And the night of his funeral, the sunset in our backyard was, I still have the picture and it gives me goosebumps thinking about it. but it literally looked like the heavens were singing. And I would love to share that photo with you guys because I have it on my fireplace, and it's a reminder that whether you believe in a higher power or not, something is real. Something is there. And that was my first sign from him. My second sign was, you know, for you Central Minnesota folks, the good old Benton County Fair. I took some time off work, and the Benton County Fair was that week. So I went with some friends to the Benton County Fair. They had some little kids, and we're walking through all the animal barns, and we started walking through the horse barn, and all of a sudden this horse is going nuts and is neighing and going up and down in its small little pen, and it's like got our attention, obviously. So I turn around. And if you've never been to a fair or the Benton County Fair, they all have like their posters and their ribbons and what their horse's name is and who the owner is and blah, blah, blah. When I look up on the wall, the horse's name is Indy, I-N-D-Y. I kid you not. And I like, it gives me tears because I'm like, holy crap. I got it. Okay, thank you. And my friend who was with, she's like, what's wrong? Like, why are you crying? And I just pointed to the wall and she's like, wow, that's a sign. So that's a sign that I needed to keep going, keep Googling and figuring out how do I do all this stuff. So Indy was born in August of 2018. We worked with a lawyer to make sure all of our paperwork and filings were correct. And then we really got to work on website, marketing, all the things to do. Sorry, I said August of 2018. August of 2017, Indy Foundation was born. In January of 2018 is really when we launched to the world. And what we did was we accepted nominations on our website. That was kind of our goal, was how are we going to find these people? How are we going to help these people? We're going to promote it on social media, and we're going to get nominations coming through our website. We got our first couple nominations, and our goal was to go and film these stories because we thought, one, not only would it be helpful to other people battling cancer, but two, what we learned is a lot of these videos became maybe some of the lasting memories these families could have. So we were creating videos that their kids may be able to watch 10 years down the road and realize, you know, that's my mom, or hear her voice. So in January, we went into Melissa DeJager's house in Rice, Minnesota. I took my mom with me. We brought a videographer. Hey, I'm Kayla, kind of like publisher clearinghouse style. I was like, I hope these people don't think I'm freaking weird. Like, we're really doing a good thing. Show up, say hi, get all set up in the back room. And the people that are listening, so many people know Melissa. She is the sweetest, softest, most welcoming soul. So we sit in the back room, just me and her, and my mom is chatting with her husband and kids. And her video basically turns into kind of a goodbye to her family. She was at the end of her cancer road. Her diagnosis was, you know, we really can't do anything more for you. And for me, I'm sitting on the other side of the camera bawling. And when I started this nonprofit, it never really fazed me that I could be saying goodbye to a lot of these people. Even though I had just gone through that, I don't know why, it just didn't even click. So after meeting with Melissa, she was our first warrior. She passed away like 2 weeks later. And that hit me really hard. It was almost like my grief resurfaced a little bit of what I had just went through. But then I realized, oh my gosh, you can be such a huge resource to her now husband, who is also a widow. And we were all widows in our 30s. Like, my friends were getting married and having baby showers. They didn't have advice on how to be a widow. And I didn't want them to have advice on that, right? Like, that is not something I chose at, would ever have chose at 28 or planned for my life. You don't plan that. So Royce and I became really good friends. We became resources on how to navigate all the next, all the first wedding anniversary, the first birthday without them. Something he had that I didn't was he had kids. So he had to figure out, how do I navigate kids? How do I, you know, how do I get them up and how do I brush a little girl's hair? You know, it's all those things you don't really think about. But then our next warrior, also Joe Scheffler, Soccer Rapids, Minnesota was his home. He had brain cancer and I met with him and his wife and he passed away about a month after I met him. And so I kind of questioned for a little bit. I'm like, gosh, can I really do this? Like, am I just constantly going to meet people that don't beat cancer and are gone shortly after I meet them? But like I said, Shannon and I also became good friends, resources for each other. And not everyone passed away, right? There are cancer survivors everywhere, which is amazing. It was a tough start to Indy and me questioning like, what the heck am I doing? And can I make it through all this emotional roller coaster? But I can happily say here we are 7 years later, surviving, thriving, and helping warriors across the state of Minnesota. So that was kind of a long-winded story on Indy Foundation. But what do? We have resources and programs available to cancer warriors across the state of Minnesota. The only stipulations are you have to be currently battling cancer and you have to live in the state of Minnesota. One thing that was really cool about Indy when we were formulating and thinking about our mission is there's so many nonprofits out there that focus on breast cancer, colon cancer, only kids with cancer. And I was like, no, I want to help everyone. And I don't care what their race is. I don't care what their financial status is. I want to make it easy. And I want to make sure that we can help as many people as possible. So we do not discriminate against any of that stuff that I just said. It's open to anyone. And I think that's what's really cool is we help littles, we help bigs, we help people all across the state of Minnesota. So we have our monthly warrior program where we award financial assistance to two warriors monthly. We also have our backpack program, and we started that in 2019. We partnered with the Randy Shaver Foundation. They give us a grant every year to produce and pack backpacks. So the backpacks, again, inspired by Kyle, he would carry a little drawstring bag to his cancer treatments filled with things to keep him occupied, things to keep him comfortable. And so we just took it up a level and we packed the backpacks with journals, gum, mints, socks, water bottles, and blankets. Stuff to hopefully keep you comfortable while you're maybe sitting in that chemotherapy chair. And then we deliver them to area cancer centers and hospitals. Since we were born in central Minnesota, we started at Colburn's Cancer Center, Centra Care Facility. And then we've branched out since then. And since we've launched the backpack program in 2019, I believe we've distributed over 7,400 backpacks to area hospitals as far north as Bemidji down to Rochester. And one of the coolest things about that program is the connection that it creates between the nurse and the patient or the social worker and the patient. They get to make someone's day. They get to make a connection and say, hey, I have this bag for you. And it's more than just a bag, right? It's a little piece of hope to let them know that they're not battling alone. There's an army behind them that is supporting them. We have a few testimonials, but one of my favorites is a guy down in the cities getting treatment at MHealth Fairview. And he would come in with a plastic grocery bag with his belongings every day. And he was so excited to get a drawstring bag full of his stuff that can just keep him comfortable. And the fact that he was coming into his treatments alone is just mind-boggling. Kyle always had support. And I will say that's one thing that we are super lucky and grateful for is if there's anything you can do for a person that is currently battling cancer, just be there for them. That's all you have to do. And maybe you physically can't be there, but maybe you can send them a text message in the morning just saying, hey, you were on my mind today, thinking of you, hope you have a great day. One of the things that always bugged Kyle is people asking him, how are you feeling? He's like, I don't want to talk about how I'm feeling, right? I just want to feel normal and tell me about what's new in your life. So that's one advice I could give you is just treat them like they're normal. Other programs Indy has is GVL Thrive. And actually, GVL Thrive, that started with a partnership through Steph Canelli, who she battled breast cancer and had a home up at GVL, which is short for Grandview Lodge in Nisswa, Minnesota. And she found great respite up at Grandview. She's like, I want other people to be able to experience this and just have time away with their friends and family. So she reached out to us and we partnered with her and Grandview Lodge, and the Grandview Lodge owners donate their properties, a 3-night stay over the weekend from September to May, and they can have up to 25 guests go with them. So it's pretty cool because sometimes that's a cancer warrior's last vacation. Sometimes it's their celebration of being cancer free. And sometimes it's just strictly a vacation because they can't hop on a plane and go somewhere. So that is a really awesome newer program that we have. And then finally, after COVID, we developed the Emergency Gas and Gift Card Fund. We wanted to create a way that could get people money quickly and make a bigger impact. After COVID, it seemed like everything inflated, right? Gas went up, groceries went up. Again, while you're battling your health, you shouldn't have to worry about those things. And some of the nominations that we get in are so, I mean, they just pull at the heartstrings, right? I lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to feed my kids. I really want to buy my kids Christmas presents, but reality is we don't have the money, so I just need to buy them food. So this was a simple way for us to distribute. I think we are up to about $30,000 a year now that we distribute to cancer warriors throughout the state. It's our most requested program because it's simple. You go on, you can request a gift card, whether it's for you or for someone that is battling cancer. We've had to limit how much we send out per month because our funds would be exhausted in 2 months, but we do our best to try and help as many people as we can. Those are our main programs. Our mission really is just to continue supporting warriors both financially and emotionally. And so that's why I'm here today. It's a little bit about Indy. I'm sure we'll get more into the depths of it in the future. A preview on what's to come. We have some exciting interviews. I have my confirmed list and I have my, oh my gosh, how do I get this person on our podcast list? So I really hope you continue to tune in and find some inspiration and hope within this podcast. We have a couple major fundraisers per year that allow us to do things like this podcast and our programs. Our Bowties and Arrows Gala is our biggest fundraiser of the year. That is in March of 2024. We have a summer party. We call it the birthday party, and it's a golf tournament as well. And that's typically takes place in August. And then we also have our Galentine's, which is kind of a girl shopping, really fun event we do partnering with White Peony Boutique, and that is in February as well. Those main fundraisers help fund our programs as well as outside fundraisers as well that other people do for Indy. Of course, you can always go on our website and donate directly to the cause as well. We couldn't survive without our donors and our sponsors. So thank you for allowing us to be here after 7 years. It's kind of a dream to be sitting behind this mic and spreading the mission and vision of Indy and hopefully connecting more cancer warriors. So thank you and have an amazing day. Thank you for listening to Indy Foundation, Connecting Through Cancer. Whether cancer has affected you or someone you know, we hope this podcast has provided support and connection. Indy Foundation offers a range of resources to assist you. For more information, visit our website at indy-foundation.org. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for updates and community support. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review. Until next time, stay strong and remember, Indy, I'm not done yet.